You know, here in Hawaii, there are just a handful of boarding schools. The Big Island's Hawaii Preparatory Academy is one of them. We talked to head of school Patrick Phillips about the changes that are being made to accommodate the students who are traveling from abroad and who plan to spend the 2020-2021 school year here in the islands. There are no specific federal rules about boarding schools, but Phillips and others are talking with the State Health Department, the Hawaii Association of Independent Schools, and others about best practices.
In a given year, we'll have anywhere from 150 to 180 boarders. We have been able to go higher in years past, but we've actually taken some of those boarding rooms back to make the other boarding rooms larger or to make them more, more suitable for students these days. It's different when, in the 1960s and 1970s were very different in terms of dorm rooms.
So in the dorms, are there like two students to a room? I don't know. What's been the practice and what will be the practice going forward?
Most of our rooms are doubles, and then we have a handful of rooms that are singles. Usually those are for our older students, particularly students who are in leadership positions, dorm prefects, that sort of thing. We had a few rooms that were triples. We have eliminated all triples, and so we will be going forward with rooms that are singles and doubles. I'm not sure the exact mix yet. It depends on where we end up with male and female students as to whether there'll be most students will be in singles or most students will be in doubles, but it's going to be right around there. So we're having our students come in on that weekend of August 8th and 9th, and when they arrive, they'll be tested. We're actually going back and forth right now and trying to decide whether those students will, with the governor's recent proclamation, whether those students will be tested before they board an airplane coming to us, or whether we'll be testing them on that first day when they arrive. And so in our boarding population, it's about 45% are international students, about 45% are domestic, typically from the mainland, and then the remainder are from this island or from other islands, so they're within the state.
I see. So then that's why the testing would vary depending on where the students come from.
Exactly. So we know, based on what we're being able to find out right now, that the students coming from the mainland will be able to get testing in places like CVS or other pharmacies where they are. It's a little bit different when we start considering the students who'll be joining us from Germany and from Thailand and from other places like that.
And so how is the rest of the school community affected?
There'll be a lot of changes to school, but some of those will just be sort of habits. So, for example, we know that one of the things that's going to help keep down any spread of disease is increased hand washing. And so we're actually installing on both of our campuses some outdoor sinks to increase opportunities for students to wash their hands with soap and water. We're also putting in hand sanitizer stations, so when they aren't able to get to a sink or perhaps they don't have the full minute to wash their hands, they'll be able to go get some hand sanitizer. And in addition, we already have in our lower school, all of our classrooms have sinks in them. So we're building in procedures so that hand washing will become a regular routine in the day. It'll just be sort of a habit for those students.
So that's the sanitation part of it.
Correct.
What about the hallways? Will you have one-way halls, or how does that work?
Yep. We're very fortunate in that our buildings are almost all outside. We don't have many interior hallways except for in our dormitories. So all of our lanai will become one-way, and then the grass on the other side of the lanai will become the other direction. In our lower and middle school, we're actually housed in what was an old country inn, and so it has wide spaces outside of the classrooms. But again, all of the stairways, all of the lanai, all of the passageways will be one direction only. We actually have the signage going up here in just after 4th of July so that we'll be able to practice and make sure that it's going to work for all of our students.
Okay, so you're making those physical changes to the campus before the students arrive.
Correct.
Are you doing anything for the summer?
We have postponed or canceled all of our usual summer activities. We usually have a large number of camps, and we actually have some visitors who come and stay with us over the course of the summer, and none of that is happening, which has been disappointing from a revenue side, but from a let's get school ready, it's been much easier for us because there's nobody to work around. And so our maintenance crews and some of the outside vendors that we use have been able to get in and do their work much quicker and much more thoroughly than they normally could during the summer.
Are you having to abandon the college prep classes that you might have offered, because a lot of colleges now are kind of not requiring that?
Right. We're not abandoning sort of the regular college prep curriculum that we have. The piece that, you know, colleges have changed is there many colleges have gone to test optional for our rising senior class, so for the class that will graduate next spring. And so some of our students may therefore choose not to take, say, the SAT or ACT, where they may have chosen to take it in the past. Fortunately, many of our students actually do very well on those tests, and so the students that I've talked with have said, even though the school that I'm really thinking is my first choice has gone test optional, I'm still going to take the test, because if I do well, I can send it in. If I don't do well, I don't have to.
Interesting. Yeah, that's good strategy. But would you normally have those SAT prep classes, let's say, this summer?
There would be some this summer optional for obviously if people want to come and have that be part of their summer plans, and we also have some people during the course of the year that will offer tutoring services outside of our regular school plan, and so that may still happen. We have not actually talked with those folks yet.
But you had to cancel the SAT prep that was planned for the summer.
Yep, everything that we had on summer, everything both academic and athletic has been canceled, with the exception of we actually are starting up next week our. We have a summer swim academy. We have an outdoor swimming pool. And we've been able to test out some different ways to make sure that that's going to be safe for outside folks to come in and take their swim lessons and do their diving and those sorts of things. As we've approached the next school year, we know that we're not going to be in what I would call our traditional academic schedule. We know that we need to start off the school year with some modifications, and we talked about some of those sort of physical modifications, so to allow for increased hand washing, to allow more time between classes so that we can spread people out as they are transitioning from place to place. And so we've actually designed a different schedule, a modified schedule, that we'll be using, and it's different by lower school, middle school, and upper school. And then knowing that that schedule had to be flexible so that an individual student or several students may need to be home and quarantining for 2 weeks at a time, so allowing students to be able to be both face-to-face with their instructors and also have some students who are home and who are perhaps Zooming in or using some other technologies to be a part of that class. And then also knowing that there could come a time where there's an outbreak on this island and we need to have everybody stay home with our boarding students staying in the dormitories and our day students staying in their houses, and so being able to go to a fully online environment. So we do anticipate sort of this back and forth between face-to-face and online, and we've designed a schedule, an academic schedule, to allow for that to happen. We've learned a lot of lessons, I think, from this spring. We were able to get feedback from our students, from our parents, and from our faculty, and to use that to design an online environment that'll be, I think, much more robust for people.
One of the smaller schools, private schools that we talked to, said that they were putting up physical barriers. Hongguanji has shower curtains and PVC pipes. They've been very creative.
Right.
Are you doing anything like that?
We do. There's a possibility in our lower school of using some physical barriers just because we have much larger rooms, and so we could have a fair number of students in those rooms still spread out, but we may want to create some barriers between certain areas so that there could be sort of sectioning off of those classes. In our other classrooms, in our classrooms in our middle and upper school, we will be reducing the numbers, but not by that much. Our average class size is somewhere between 14 and 15, depending on the year. And so we're looking at bringing those down to between 10 and 12 in our classrooms, and also spreading out and using some other spaces that are not typically used as classrooms. So, for example, we're fortunate on our upper campus to have a student union, which during the day typically serves as a place for students to relax, to read a book, to hang out, and it has a small school store in it. We'll be using that space as a place to have student desks and have that be a place where a study hall may happen. So we're pulling in places that maybe weren't typically used during the academic day as an academic space, but those will all now be used in that format.
Right, but you've got that flexibility of space at least.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, we're very fortunate. You know, talking with peer schools, particularly on the mainland, who they had no option to get kids outside. Maybe they were a school in a big city. I'm thinking about some of the schools I've seen in New York City in particular. They don't have outdoor spaces to move into, and they also have the added drawback of they're all using recycled air. They all have HVAC. They in some cases, they don't have windows that even open. Mm. And here, of course, we have windows that open all the time.
Fresh air.
Fresh air. It's flowing right through. The doors are open. The windows are open. And we're hoping that that gives us an advantage in keeping people healthy.
And clarify the policy then on masks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're still working the details out on that. However, we are asking that all students and all faculty and all staff bring a clean mask with them every day. So we are telling students, for example, for our boarding students, to arrive when they come to school with 5 to 7 masks that they can use throughout the week so that they can then clean them on a weekly basis. So we are then figuring out where exactly we want to say masks are required and where masks will be optional for students. So in an area, for example, where a mask would be optional would be, as you can imagine, recess in our lower school. We are not likely to require masks during recess, but if a child wants to wear it there, that would be fine too. In other spaces, when I'm thinking about in our upper school, when students might be working together on a chemistry project, it may be that they are required to wear it during that period of time when they have to operate in a face-to-face environment closer than the CDC guidelines would recommend.
Okay, and then as far as like offerings like chorus and band, have you had to cancel any of that, or are you modifying?
We haven't canceled any of those. We are looking to modify those. So again, chorus is a great one, right? We've all heard the story of I think it was the choir practice at a church where everybody came down with COVID-19 because they're singing and you're putting all that out into the environment and then breathing that in. And so we are looking at how we can operate that safely. Is that going to be everybody in chorus has a mask on the whole time? Where we are, I'm looking out at a beautiful sunny day. Could they move outside and have that outside and that would be safe? So we're investigating that with the help of some medical professionals. We have to keep reminding each other that no one thing is going to be the silver bullet, right? Wearing masks alone is not going to do it. Washing hands is not going to do it. Spreading students out in the classrooms is not going to do it. Taking daily temperature checks, which is something we'll be doing as well as students arrive to school. Those things individually, none of them are going to be 100%. But if we add them all up, and we're getting closer and closer to being able to say that we're keeping our community as healthy as possible. And we know that all of these different pieces, as we pull them together, again, won't prevent perhaps an infection from happening in our community, but it'll help us then track it down when and if it does happen.
That was Patrick Phillips with the Hawaii Preparatory Academy on the Big Island talking about its boarding school plans and other changes that it's making to deal with the pandemic come August.